we believe in eternal life. Amen. We believe in eternal life. And someone says, well, preacher, I believe it's possible that a person, you know, could lose their salvation. Then you don't believe in eternal life. And Jesus said in John 10, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall, what are the next two words? Never perish. It didn't get much plainer than that. And here's the thing. And the reason we believe in eternal life is because the sacrifice that Jesus made is sufficient. Amen. You know why I'm saved right now? It's not because of me. It's not because of anything that I have done. It's not anything that I could do. I cannot keep myself saved. If it was up to me, Brother Eric, I'd have been in hell this afternoon after this morning service. If it was up to me to keep myself saved. But I can honestly say, the reason I'm saved is because there is a man seated on the right hand of God right now. And here's what he does. He has the wounds in his hands and in his feet. Speak salvation and deliverance and acceptance and forgiveness for me today. That's why Jesus says, I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. He knew what his high priestly work was going to be. He knew exactly what he was going to do. And here's the thing. We Baptists get so comfortable. Yeah, we're saved forever. What makes us a Baptist? Well, we just believe once saved, always saved, and we're just all Baptists. Can I just go and tell you that if that's our mentality, what is wrong with our heart? I mean, I'm telling you, I have sat in church services before. People talk about the bleeding and the of the Son of God, the wrath that God poured out for sin, and the suffering that Christ took for us. And I have seen people look there just like Kalijah the wooden Indian. I mean, it have no effect whatsoever. Thinking, I would love to see you at a Colts ball game. I'd love to see you whenever the Pacers, you know, just don't do very well, and you get all upset and get mad and angry. I mean, there are people who have more emotion over a silly ball game than they have to stop and think that Christ's wounds speak for me right now. Amen. Forgive him, oh, forgive they cry, nor let that ransomed sinner die. That's what those wounds in Christ's hand does right now. You're not saved because of anything you do. That's pride. That's nothing but pride. God hates pride. I am not saved by what I have done. I do not stay saved because of what I can do. I am saved by the good grace of God and His keeping power. And it's interesting. We're going to go to Ephesians 1 tonight. Let me just shut up and then start talking again. All right. Ephesians chapter number 1. I want to look there this evening if I can find my bookmark. There it is. Ephesians chapter number 1, I want to keep your Bible there. I thought about going over to the book of Romans tonight as well, but I'm not going to spend, if I were to do that, we would be here way, way, way too long. So, tonight. And I'm just going to simply read the first two verses for now. Then we're going to read some more verses in chapters 1, 2, and probably 4. So don't put your Bible up. You put your Bible up, you're going to be lost in golf ball and high weeds. You won't know where I'm at. Okay? So please keep it open. Bible says Ephesians 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray you'd bless tonight. Thank you for touching in the songs. Thank you for the great truth that the ladies sang about tonight, that we as sinners are rightfully, we feel very, very inadequate in and of ourselves. We feel unworthy to come into your presence. But as the song sang, the guilty soul can arise, shake off its guilty fears because the bleeding sacrifice of Christ on our behalf appears. And because before the throne our surety stands and our name is written on the hands of Christ, through those wounds Lord, I pray that you would help us to see our position in him. And I pray that you'd bless the word tonight. And we'll thank you, Lord, for your goodness and ask you to help us this evening. In Jesus' name, Lord, we do pray. Amen. Now, what I want to look at tonight is just on this thought. I want to look at this thought of position and practice. Position and practice. Now, when I say that, I'm not talking about somebody being a quarterback, somebody being a linebacker, and they practice for that position. Okay, we're not talking about that. We're going to talk about the same person, their position, and their practice. Let me just ask a few questions that maybe you have heard people ask. Being saved for about 30 years, preaching for nearly that long, I guess, I've heard a lot of questions, and I've had people ask questions along this line because there are ups and downs in the Christian life. When you see somebody who's always bright and cheerful and, you know, the sun is always out and they never have a bad day, you know, I don't know what brand of coffee that you're getting or how you're grinding it, but I want you to tell me about it because it don't work that way for me. It just don't work that way. Amen. 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 I mean, some people like that, I mean, they may act all happy, but I'm going to go ahead and tell you, their cornbread ain't done all the way in the middle. Amen. All right? Yeah, amen. Amen. The normal Christian life is a life of ups and downs. Because really, that's the way life is for everybody, but specifically for the Christian. Specifically for the Christian. So, I've had people come to me and they have asked some of these questions. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I got about 5 questions. All right. They'll say this. Number one, they'll say, why do I struggle with, and then they'll, you know, X. Why do I struggle with X? Whatever X happens to be. Why do I struggle with anger? Why do I struggle with pride? Why do I struggle with jealousy? Why do I struggle with wanting to beat the fool out of the person in front of me when they pull out in front of me and do 2 miles an hour after they know that I'm driving 55? Why do I want to stop and beat the brakes off of them? In Jesus' name, amen. I mean, you know, I've had people, why do I struggle with this? Why do I struggle with X? Okay? And for those of you who are teenagers who are getting ready to drive, we're going to tell you to do as we say. And not as we do, all right? Amen. That's right. All right, I'm just telling you. Amen. So why do I struggle with this particular thing? Number two, why do I not feel saved? Maybe you've asked that question yourself. Why do I not feel saved? Well, let me ask you a question. What does feeling saved feel like? I know what it's like to feel full after a meal. I know what it's like to feel like you've eaten too much after a meal. Amen. I know what it feels like to be excited. I know what it feels like to be saved. What is exactly the feel like to be saved? Is it the feeling you have after you have gotten saved? Because that feeling wanes, doesn't stay there all the time. Is it the feeling that you have that you are happy and like today, the service today? The service this afternoon was tremendous. I mean, this morning was tremendous. I mean, preaching was easy. I wasn't trying to struggle to put words together. It was like, bunga, dunga, dunga. Somebody was praying. Whoever prayed, thank God for you praying. Amen. You got through. Is it because you have this confidence that you feel secure in God? Is that what you mean by I feel saved, and whenever you don't feel confident in God, you don't feel saved? I've had people ask me that question. Number three, why do I not always have good thoughts? Or you could say the same question this way. Why do I have bad thoughts? I don't have any bad thoughts, preacher. I just don't have any bad thoughts. No, you probably don't. You just suffer from lying bad enough where you don't have to have bad thoughts. Amen. Why do I not have good thoughts? Why do I have bad thoughts? Why do I want to go back and have bad thoughts about listening to that kind of music or reading that kind of a book or hanging out with those type of people or doing this type of activity? Why? Number four, why do I say things that I ought not say? Open mouth, insert foot. Now, that's a human nature problem, but Christians are more sensitive to it because we've got to be careful. I mean, we're told to let our speech be seasoned, be with grace, always seasoned with salt, Colossians tells us, that it may minister grace to the hearers. It's one thing for guys to get around and you know shoot the breeze and talk fishing stories and hunting stories, but really and truly there ought to be some grace within our speech to help each other out, to encourage each other. And when someone comes along with a spiritual note, Christians ought not to be the ones to look down their righteous noses at someone like, man, what are you doing bringing a spiritual application into this really cool hunting story that I'm telling? But I've seen that happen. Can I get a witness on that? Yeah. Why do I say things I ought not say? Nobody has trouble with that. You understand? I'm not saying anything right now because I'm not saying anything I ought not say. It's exactly right. Amen. We struggle with that. Number four, why am I tempted to sin? Even though I'm pretty sure I'm saved. Why am I tempted to sin? See, I've had similar questions, and I'm sure if you've been saved for any length of time, you have either been asked those questions by somebody else, or maybe you've even asked those questions to another believer. Well, let me simply say this. Number one, there is a struggle in those questions. There is a definite struggle. There is a heart struggle going on. That's pretty simple. Duh, preacher, that's obvious. Well, I'm here to brighten your day for this one thought. If the struggle is there, let me say this, it is a good struggle. And I'll tell you why it's good. It shows that there is a new creature who is fighting against the old self and the old way of life. I'll say this, where there is no battle, where there is no struggle, there is no life. If you have no struggle against sin, no struggle against bad thoughts, you couldn't care less about what comes into your mind, there's no remorse, there's no content, it's all contemplation, there's none of this, God, I'm sorry, forgive me. If there's not that attitude of remorse, that is a good indication that there is no new creature on the inside. There is a battle that goes on the inside. Every Christian is in a battle. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. There is a spiritual battle that takes place. When you are born again, you become a target of the devil, and he is going to do everything that he can in his power to try to tear you down, to make your life miserable, to keep you away from where you ought to be in the things of God. So I want you to understand this tonight. If there is no battle, it is a good indication that you've never been saved. There will be a battle. Now I've got to be careful because I'm not trying to preach experience. I'm trying to exposit the Scriptures. But understand that as we exposit the Scriptures, as we open them up and talk about them, what we're going to see is there is a definite tug of war, a definite fight, a definite all-out battle in your mind and in your heart because somebody is present now who was not present prior to the new birth who says, all of that's wrong, every bit of that bad, I'm turning from it. I mentioned this in Sunday school and I mentioned this to a couple of folks, Brother John there and Miss Maria there, maybe I think Brother Michael was there this afternoon and while we were eating. And Brother Donnie Harvey, I called him up here, I don't know, 3 or 4 days ago. His brother had passed away here a couple of weeks back, and I had never gotten in contact with him just to kind of help him. And I just give my condolences from me and from the church on his brother passing. And we were talking a little bit, and he talked about how he went to Brother Mike Price's church down in Decatur, Alabama. And Brother Mike Price, he's preached here before, it's been a while, but he's actually from over in Kennard. And, bless his heart, he slipped in his separation. He's wearing these like Alabama Crimson Tide shirts, and it's just wicked. But God still blesses despite all that wickedness that he shows. And he had a fall get-together. And I found some pictures online. I looked at it. Brother Harvey's down there, just a pair of jeans, a shirt, and his Vietnam vet cap. And during that time, Brother Harvey was there. Brother Price said, Brother Harvey, just go ahead and give us a few words. And there was a young man there who had made a profession when he was younger, but this young man was a sodomite. Brother Harvey just got up and began to talk about the goodness of God, began to talk about the new birth, began to talk about the change that takes place in salvation, and he said God came into that place. God began to move, and God began to convict, and God began to deal in hearts. And he said, and he preached for a little while, and he said he wanted to back off, but God just had him bear down. He said, and he knew about that boy, and he knew what was going on, but he just bared down and let God use him for that few minutes, however long it was that he preached there. He said, you know, not church clothes, just out underneath, and it's just like one of those carports. I saw the picture, one of those old carports that has the poles there, picnic tables under it. That's what they were eating underneath. Said after the service was over, they talked a little bit, and that young man pulled him aside, asked him to come into a room there in the house, and told him this. He said, where you were preaching tonight, God began to deal in my heart. God began to deal in my heart. And he said, all that stuff that I've been associated with, he said, that is wrong. And he said, God convicted me about it being wrong. And when he said in his heart that everything that he had been doing was wrong, that was the moment that God passed him from death unto life, birthed him into the family of God, and he became a new creature. Amen. There will be a struggle once the new birth takes place. And if there is no struggle, there has not been a new birth. Okay, and we see that throughout the scriptures, and I'm going to show that to you tonight. But the first thing I want us to see tonight, before we get to the practice, is I'm going to look at some positional truth. What does the Bible say about us right now? Positional truth. Where are you at right now? I understand you're, you know, at, I almost said 4447 P. Ridge Road. We're not at 1529 Wells Avenue, and we're not at, you know, 4541 Wildwood Springs Road. We ain't been there in, you know, 9 years almost. Amen. But where are you at right now? I know we're at the church, but in the sight of God, where are you at? Let's look here tonight. Now, I'm not going to deal with every single thing in these verses. I'm just going to pull a few things out because I don't have time to get into a lot of the doctrinal stuff here tonight. But I want to look at positionally. Where are believers at right now in the sight of God? Look at verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, watch this, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Got to kind of keep your mind in that verse. Predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Now, we could keep moving on, but here, I'm going to pull out just a couple things tonight. Where does the Bible say that you're at right now? Where's the Bible say? I want you to look with me. Look at verse number 4. End of verse number 4. According to the Bible, God has chosen us before the foundation of the world. Where should we be at? That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Before the world was ever made, before God said in the beginning, you know, God created the heaven, God said, let there be light. Before God ever said, let there be light, God had already determined, predetermined, that those who were in Christ would be holy and without blame before him in love. So help me ask you a question tonight. Are you one of God's children? Hold that thought. Now, verse number 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, the praise, the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. We talk about, have you accepted Christ? Have you accepted Christ? That is not a biblical phrase to talk about salvation. It's not so much about whether we have accepted Christ. It's that Christ has accepted us. Okay? Verse number 6, he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Are you one of God's children? You accepted in the beloved? All right, hold that thought. Verse number 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. 22nd time out, shout a little bit, Have the ladies come back up here and sing again. Arise, my soul, arise. Shake off thy guilty fears. The bleeding sacrifice in my behalf appears. Christ shed his blood on behalf of sinners. Every sinner who comes to him in faith and repentance receives redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sins. Watch this. Not according to what we've done, but according to the riches. All the unlimited coffers of God's grace, he pours out redemption through the blood of his Son and the forgiveness of sins. Amen. Hallelujah. Everything that you've ever done, everything that you've ever thought, everything that you will do, everything that you would think, everything you could do, every bit of that was already figured into the plan of God and the sufficiency of the sacrifice of Christ before you ever discovered America. Before you were a twinkle in your mom and daddy's eye, Christ had already, in God's mind, gone to the cross, had already made a perfect sacrifice, and had taken care of the sins of everyone who had ever come to him for salvation. Now, having said that, let's look here for just a minute. In whom we have redemption. That word have is a verb. Is that present tense? Is that past tense? Is that future tense? Now, you don't have to have a master's degree in English to figure that one out. Now, Miss Sheila could, she could give it to us right then. Amen. Amen. She could just nail it to the wall. But let me ask you this question. We have. Is that past tense, present tense, or future tense? Which one is it? It's not a trick question, I promise you. That's present tense. So watch me. I can read this verse now, and it means that I have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Well, as I'm reading it now, tomorrow becomes looks back today and it becomes yesterday. So right now, if I'm reading it here in yesterday, that verse reads the exact same yesterday as it reads today, as it will read tomorrow. So watch this. It's present tense. Right now, as I stand before you, I have redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ. If you're here tonight and you're saved, you have redemption through His blood, through Jesus Christ. That's it. You've got it now, right now, present tense. Now, let me ask you this question. Are you saved tonight? Well, I don't know, preacher. Let me ask you this question. Have you been redeemed through His blood? You had the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of God's grace. Have you come to God in faith and repentance? Have you called on God for salvation? Have you called on Him? I'm just asking. I'm not asking if you were baptized, I'm not asking if you were sprinkled, I'm not asking if you were confirmed, I'm not asking if you've gone through some other type of religious ritual. I'm asking you, have you been born again, passed from death unto life? Amen. That's what I'm asking tonight. Because here's the thing I want us to see tonight. If you have come to God, and the Bible says, Him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. I listened to a man here just a couple of days ago as I was listening to a group of preachers who were speaking, and Bible scholars. They were answering some questions about the cults and the skeptics, and the gentleman who was moderating the meeting asked this gentleman, he said, would you tell people how they can come to a relationship with Christ? And he said this. He said, well, the Bible talks about God so loving the world and giving His only begotten Son. And he said, Him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. He said, I was dealing with some doubt and dealing with a few things here and there. And then he said this. He said, have I truly believed? How do I know that I believed? How do I know that I really haven't just wanted to believe and didn't believe? How do I know that? And he said, the preacher who talked to him looked at him and said, and he called his name and he said, I believe his name was Dave. He said, Dave, look, the Bible says, Him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. Why don't you just let God just deal with it and just trust Him? And I said, that's good, that'll preach. That's good, that will preach. Have you come to God? I'm just asking you, have you come to the Lord? Have you come to Him? Well, let me ask you this question. If you've truly come to Christ, you're the only one. And I'm not asking if you came to an altar. I'm not asking you if you were at a tent meeting or at a brush arbor or something like that, although we've had people say a tent meeting. Hallelujah, amen. Oh, yes. Amen. There's Miss Sear. All right. It's not the location of what goes on. It is the humility of your heart and what you've come for. Were you coming because people bugged you and said, you just need to go up to the front? Or are you coming because you knew that God was going to rightfully put you in hell because of your sin? Amen. That's right. God rightfully will put sinners in hell because of their sin. But everybody who is in Christ is safe from the wrath of God. They're in what the old colored preacher called the safety zone. They're in the safety zone. There's some of them folks, they'll sing a song called "I'm Standing in the Safety Zone." And you ain't never heard it sung. I mean, we white boys can't sing it, but them black folk, they can sing it good. Amen. I'm standing in the safety zone. That means where I'm at, you can't touch me. I'm out of bounds. I'm not in the game. I'm done. I cannot be touched because I'm in Jesus. Now, I'm asking you that question because of this. Have you come to Christ for salvation? Have you trusted Him? If you have, let's go back to verse number 4. You said in verse number 7, I've got redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Look at verse number 4 then. Let me ask you this question. If you're in Him right now, where are you at? Well, according to verse number 4, you are holy and without blame before Him in love. Whoop! Hallelujah. You are holy right now. Say, preacher, you don't know what's going through my mind. I'm not talking about what's going through your mind. We're talking not practically, we're talking positionally. Right now, where are you at? You are holy and without blame before God in love. When God looks at you, He doesn't see your faults. He doesn't even see your good works. He sees the righteousness of Christ. That's what keeps you saved. Well, preacher, I can do anything I want to. We're not dealing with that right yet. We're going to deal with that here in a little bit. Somebody talks about, well, I can do anything I want to and get away with it. Well, that doesn't show that someone said, well, those people lose their salvation. No, those people don't lose salvation. They don't have any salvation to lose. They never truly pass from death unto life. Amen, that's right. What we're seeing here, number one, is you are holy and without blame before God in love. So when God sees you, He sees the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Look at verse number 6. You are not standing outside waiting to get your ticket punched to get inside. You have already been accepted into the beloved. Amen. You have already been accepted in the beloved. What that tells us is this. If you were a member of a club and you had the ticket to get in, it wouldn't matter if there were 1,000 people around the door and they're all trying to beat the door to get in and you had a ticket to get in to get into this particular event, you can march right through that crowd with that ticket because you've already been accepted. Why is that? Because somebody already paid the price for you to get in. Now, I understand that in this case, you might have made a payment, but here's the thing. Christ has already made that payment. Christ has already given you, if you'll let me use this phrase, just in this context, your ticket to heaven. Now, I'm not talking about when you get saved, that's good, I got my ticket stamped, I can go out and just party up and do everything I want to. Buddy, you don't have a ticket stamped, you got a ticket going to Tarshish, not going to where God wants you to go, amen. That's exactly right. So here's what I want us to see. Right now, tonight, let's look at the positional truth. Positionally, right now, you are holy and without blame before God. You are accepted in the beloved. Watch me. Look at me. Nothing can ever change that. Preacher, I don't believe it. Look at verse number 7. In whom we, present tense, past tense, or future tense? Present tense, have redemption. We already agreed that redemption through His blood was present tense. I'm not preaching to you Baptist doctrine. I'm preaching to you Bible doctrine. And if the Baptist, and there are some free will Baptists who get away from it, guess what? They're wrong. All the way wrong. Amen. We're looking at the context here. The context here tells us, according to the grammar here, right now, we have redemption through Christ's blood. We have the forgiveness of sins according to the riches, not of what we do, but according to the riches of God's grace. Positionally, right now, you are in Christ. Why is that? Why is that? We're going to look at that in just a second. You can go to chapter number 2. While you're turning over there, the reason we can look at this positional truth and we can enjoy this position, that's why if you're writing down, write down Romans 8:1. Because Romans 8:1 says this, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. So it tells us right now at this present time, we have no condemnation now. Watch this. To them that are in Christ Jesus. It all has to do not on what you've done, but your position in Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are where? In Christ Jesus. That's where people who are without condemnation are located, in Christ Jesus. Okay? Now, that's the positional truth. Let's look at Ephesians 2:1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince, the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now, let's look at these verses just a minute, and let's look at the grammar, okay? Preacher, grammar is just not important. Grammar helps you understand present truth. Amen. And if you don't understand good old English grammar, then you're going to have a hard time understanding what the Bible's teaching. Look at verse number 2. And again, we mentioned this earlier. The italicized words were supplied by the translators to carry the sense over when the words are not always there in the Greek language. Okay? We said it before. You can ask Miss Maria this. She's the expert. Obviously, she knows a little bit more Spanish than I do, so I'll give her some credit on that. But just a little bit. Just poco de, all right? All right. So when I took Spanish, we learned this. Someone said, how do you say my name is? Okay? Well, it was like, me llamo Juan. My name is John, right? Me llamo Juan, all right? Well, actually, llamar means to call. That's the verb. That's the infinitive, okay? All right? Me llamo, I call myself, because it's first person singular. I call myself John. Me llamo Juan, but I say my name's John. Now, that's not a word-for-word translation. That is an idiomatic translation, not an idiotic translation. I've seen some of those, amen. But an idiomatic translation, like it's raining cats and dogs, that's an idiom. It's just an expression that we use. I'm fixing to leave, okay? You don't fix to leave. I mean, you fix something that's repairing, but in the South, you fix to do stuff, amen. That's right. It's kind of like a buggy versus a shopping cart. We use buggies up, you know, praise God. That's right. Now, you have to understand the grammar here. And because hath he quickened is not in the word itself that is translated here, that is what it should be translated as. And so they brought those words over in italics to show that's the sense of the word here. So if you look in verse number 1 and you watch this, hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. So right there, I've got two places that are past tense, hath and were. Hath he quickened, were dead. Look in verse 2. Wherein in time, digame, talk to me here, past, ye what? Walked. You see that? Time past. According to the prince of the power of the air spirit that now works here is been. Verse 3, among whom we all had our conversation. Do you see the past tense verbs here? The past tense behavior. That is the behavior of somebody who was lost. Now, I do understand, 2 Peter talks about some folks who've forgotten they were purged for their old sins. I get that, but that's not the same context as here. Those people who go out and live like hell itself, they sow their wild oats and they keep sowing, and they keep doing wrong, and there's no remorse, there's no begging for forgiveness, there's no talking to God and saying, God, help me. There's no struggle against that sin. You mark it down. They have not gotten past verse number 3. Look at verse 4. But God. Whoop! Hallelujah! But God. Not but I, not but me, not but look at my works, but God, who is rich in mercy, with His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were, watch this, dead in sins, hath quickened us together by Christ, by grace are you saved. You see that? And hath raised us up, verse 6, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Whoa, wait a minute. You mean to tell me, number one, I'm without blame before Him in love. I'm accepted in the Beloved. And now you're telling me in verse number 6, I'm sitting together with Christ in heavenly places. Yes! Right now you are. With Joe Biden being on the throne, for heaven's sake, you are still seated in heavenly places. Don't that make you happy? It ought to. Amen. You mean to tell me, even with all that's going on in the world right now, that Christ is on the throne and I'm with Him? Yes. That's where you're at right now. So I don't care how you feel. I know what I just read. We've got to come to the place where we accept the truth as it is, whether we feel like it or not. Amen. The Bible tells us here in verse 6, we're raised up to sit in heavenly places, that in the ages to come, verse 7, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace. There's that phrase that was in chapter 1, verse number 7. In His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I remember hearing about a man who back in the days when they would record the wax 33 1/3 records, they would send those to the radio stations and they would play those for the broadcast. And this one man was a Baptist. He got onto a Church of Christ radio station. He was preaching out of Ephesians chapter number 2, and the record got stuck. And it said this: not of works, lest any man should boast. 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 And those Church of Christ people heard it wasn't by baptism, because it was not of works, lest any man should boast. That's pretty good. So God made that record skip. Yes, He did. Amen. Amen. Now, the positional truth is that we're seated in heavenly places. We're holy without blame before Him in love. We are accepted in the Beloved. Why do we have that positional truth? Because what we read in verses 4 down through verse number 9 is the pardoning truth. We have a position in Christ because we have been pardoned. Hallelujah. That's why Brother Sammy Allen could say, don't get too excited. Don't lose yourself. You're just not going to hell. You're just going to live as long as God lives. You're just going to be in heaven forever with Jesus. You'll never scratch the charred walls of a burning hell. You'll never smell the sulfur and the brimstone and the fire in the regions of the damned. You're going to live forever because of who Christ is. Don't get too excited. You only have eternal life. Don't get too excited. Listen, that is a pardoning truth. We have a positional truth because of a pardoning truth. Christ has saved us. Because we are saved, we're in Him, whether we feel like it or not. Okay. I'm not going to ask that question. How many of you are married? Yeah, that's right, yeah. Now, do you know you're married? Do you feel like you're married? And I'm not going to ask you if you wish you weren't. I'm not asking you that question. I'm not going there tonight. Has there ever been a time where you've wondered to yourself, what in the world am I doing here? This woman can't get nothing right. And buddy, she's looking at you going, yes, that's bad. Hannah, what was that that woman said on that? Yeah, she said, I was afraid I was going to make you a bad husband. And he said, don't worry, honey, all men make bad husbands. And you're looking at each other thinking, what in the world have I done? Why did I marry this person? Well, number one, you're stuck, bub. Sorry, you're stuck. God didn't bring out to Adam Eve and Clara and Gwinnett and all the rest of them. He just said, there she is, bub. Take it or leave it, like it, love it, but there she is. Amen. And you wonder to yourself, man alive, I'm in this place, I'm in this relationship. There may be a time you are so engrossed at your workplace. Brother Eric, maybe you're troubleshooting something. Maybe you're driving, you've got directions, you've got to go to this other place, you've got to get this job done, and you need to have this job done that you're getting ready to go to. You should have had it done 2 hours ago because you got to be at this place. You know what I'm saying? Something one of those times. You know, do you even think to yourself while you're driving? Now, you may. You may be just a weird guy. I don't know. But do you ever think to yourself as you're driving, I am married to Sierra. You ever think that? Does that ever cross your mind? And I'm not going to ask if it crosses your mind if you have happy thoughts. I'm not asking that question. I'm not going to ask you that. Not asking you that at all. She's smiling back there in the back, so I know they'd be happy thoughts. But just because you don't think about it, or maybe you're stressed, which is a bad word to use, maybe you are so occupied with other things, that doesn't change the fact that you're married. That doesn't change the fact at all. Watch me now. That may not be a very good illustration, but I think we've got our attention here tonight. Whether or not we feel saved, those scriptures will stand when the world is on fire. Heaven and earth will pass away before one bit that I read out of this book will pass away. Sun will not come up tomorrow morning before one jot or one tittle of the law be broken. Amen. Amen. Someone says, well, preacher, I just don't believe what you read. Well, that's fine, then. You don't have to believe it. Take it up with God. It ain't my book. I'm just telling you what he said. I'm not trying to be smart. That is what he said. So, here's the thing I want us to see. Number one, we have a positional truth because there has been a pardoning truth. Let me get here tonight, and we're going to finish up. I know it's getting late. I told myself, man, I just don't feel like going along tonight. I'll probably just stay up maybe 30 minutes. Amen. But here's what I want you to see. We're in Ephesians 2. I want you to flip over to chapter number 4. Okay? I want you to look at verse number 17. And I want you to consciously think in your mind, listen to me, this is no joke. I want you to consciously think in your mind, Paul is writing to the same people in chapter 4 that he wrote to in chapter 1 and 2. You ready? Here we go. Verse 17, Ephesians 4. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you not so learn Christ, if so be that you have heard of Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, there's that past tense again, the old man, which is corrupt, present tense, according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. Verse 26, be ye angry and sin not. Verse 27, neither give place to the devil. Verse 28, let him that stole steal no more. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another. Good night of living. Tenderhearted. Hey, fellas. Tenderhearted. Some of y'all need to be tenderhearted to your wife and your children. Tenderhearted. I'm a big man. I'm gruff. No, you just need to obey the Bible. Tenderhearted. Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now, is he writing to the same people in chapter 4 that he was writing to in chapter 1 and 2? Yes. But there's part of me in my human mind that says, does not compute. Wait a minute. So you're trying to tell me that before the foundation of the world, God chose that everyone in Christ was going to be holy and without blame before Him in love. That's what He said. And that because of the redemption through the blood of Christ, forgiveness of His sins according to the riches of God's grace, we'd be accepted in the Beloved. And then once God quickened us, He would make us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Whoop! Yes! I'm telling you that. Okay. All right. Hey, Ephesians. Yes, sir. Don't live like the heathen. Wait a minute. I'm over here. Well, positionally, you're right here. You right here. Amen. Practically, you're right here. You have a marriage license on file somewhere. And I don't believe in marriage licenses, but you have a marriage license on file somewhere, okay? Watch me now. You may fight like cats and dogs, but that marriage license that's on file doesn't know you're fighting like cats and dogs because it still reads the same. Marriage license, fighting like cats and dogs. Positional truth, you're in Christ. Practical truth, don't live like the world. Amen. Amen. Practically, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, you get over here, guess where you're at? Put off the old man. Put on the new man. Put away lying. You see that? Here's the thing I want us to see tonight. There is a difference between position and practice. Our position is present tense. What happens, preacher, if I sin and, you know, something bad happens? You know, heaven forbid, my wife and I divorce or what? We don't want that to happen. I'll go and say it. That is not the will of God. But listen to me. Listen to what I'm about to say. That does not change Ephesians 1 and 2. That's not an excuse. Well, preacher, I just have all this liberty in Christ. Well, that's just like that one time that preacher friend of mine said he was out one day at the church, and there's this woman, and she was sucking on this big old long cigarette down at the bottom of the rail, and he's like, "What are you doing?" It's like, "I have liberty in Jesus. I got liberty in Jesus." And he's like, "You fool, that's liberty not to do what you're doing." Right. Amen, preacher. That's exactly right. Amen. No, you are under bondage. Well, now you're not under bondage. Right. Amen. So listen to me. The reason people struggle is because, watch this, you're made up of a body. On the inside of that body is a soul, that's who you really is. And then there's a spirit, that part of you that's able to communicate with God. Okay, watch this. What's over here in heavenly places? What's redeemed? What's the part that's holy without blame? Well, that's my soul. That ain't my body. My body's right here. A preacher friend of mine was preaching one time, and he was down in Atlanta preaching in a black church, and little boy got saved. And they asked him when he got saved, they said, "Well, son, if you died tonight, where would you go?" He'd say, and he said this, "I'm going to Jenkins' funeral home." He said, No, son, if you died tonight, where are you going?" He said, "You know, the soul got saved." He said, "Oh, I know." He said, "I know I'm going to heaven when I die. My soul going to heaven, but my body's still going to Jenkins' funeral home." Okay? That young man had more sense than a lot of people would have granted him. His soul was saved by the grace of God. As far as God was concerned, who sees the eternal present, God said, "That young man, holy and without blame before me in love, accepted in the beloved, seated in the heavenly places in Christ." That's his soul. But there's part of him had to go to Jenkins' funeral home. And right here's the part that goes to Jenkins' funeral home. His body's going to go there. You're still living in this body of flesh. Amen. I got so ugly, I decided I'm going to grow a beard to cover it up. Amen. It ain't helping none, but it keeps me warm. Amen. But this body is liable to do any of those things from verse 17 down to verse number 32, good or bad. Not me, preacher. Yeah, you. Yeah, you. "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." I've always said that's one of those verses they need to put up at a skating rink. Because I guarantee you I'd be the one doing the falling. There's a positional truth, there's a parting truth, but this is the practical truth. Remember the questions? Why do I struggle with X? Why do I not feel saved? Why do I not have good thoughts? Why do I have bad thoughts? Why do I say things ought not? Why am I tempted to sin? Watch me. It's not because you're not seated in heavenly places. It's because, not because of your position, it's because of your practice. It's where we live right now. That's where you're at. There will be that struggle. There needs to be that struggle in your heart. If there's not a struggle, I'm concerned about your salvation. If you're driving down the road and you see the wrong types of billboards, you see the signs in stores, and it makes you think bad things, and there's not a struggle there, something's wrong with that. I'd say every one of us in here have parked on a television channel probably longer than we should, and you're thinking, man, that just ain't right. I got to keep on going. Not me, preacher. Well, God bless your heart. I appreciate you being dishonest like that. Makes the rest of us know we're telling the truth. Amen. All right now. Amen. Now, I know this sounds bad. My wife's not too happy, but Hondo starts in 45 minutes. Amen. John Wayne's coming on tonight, but I'm not going to watch it because my wife don't want me to watch it. Amen. Amen. All right. What I want us to see tonight is because we're in these bodies, Paul takes time in Ephesians 4 to deal with some things to tell us, yes, your position is absolutely wonderful, but your practice needs to match that position. Amen? That's why it says it's not for kings, O Lemuel, to drink wine. If I'm an heir and a joint heir with Christ, if I'm an ambassador for Christ, how should I live? Should I walk around? Should I wear my pajamas to Walmart? Good night, no. And I thought it was just silly old rednecks who did that. Man, it's everybody wears pajamas to Walmart. It's sad. I mean, I still long for the days that Andy and Miss Crump went to Mount Pilot for Chinese, and Andy's wearing a coat and a tie. And I know that might be overdoing it, but I sure would rather have those days than to see people out in their, you know, Teddy Ruxpin pajamas and all. I mean, it's just so bad. Now I'm throwing that's way back. I just had to pick something. Amen. It's the Mandalorian, Star Wars, and SpongeBob SquarePants. If I see another pair of SpongeBob, I've gone through the thrift store and I've seen the SpongeBob lounging pants, and I'm thinking I'll just buy them and burn them just to get rid of them. Amen. Silly. Oh my goodness gracious. But Paul's dealing with this practical stuff simply because there are issues that we're still going to deal with. There are practices that need to be stopped. It's okay to tell your wife that you love her. Amen. It's okay to look up to your husband as your burning hunk of love. I mean, it's okay to do that. Anything wrong with that? Anything wrong with that? Amen. Amen. Some of y'all are thinking, what is he talking about? And y'all are married. I mean, it's like, yeah, okay, all right. There's nothing wrong with that. There needs to be that kindling of the relationship. There are some other practices that need to be stopped. Just real quickly, I quoted it before, but verse 22, put off. Verse 24, put on. Verse 25, putting away. There needs to be a putting off the former conversation. It's kind of hot in here. Amen, is it hot in here? So guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to put my coat off. Amen. I put off that over there. But I'm going to put on another garment over here and put on the new man. It sounds to me like there's a conscious decision on how we're going to live. It almost reminds me of that verse where Paul says, I protest, you know, what you're saying in Christ Jesus, I die daily. He died on a daily basis because this flesh is so wicked and so ungodly. You don't know what your flesh is going to do. No, I've got my flesh under control. Well, you ain't got your tongue under control and you ain't got your mind under control because you're lying like a dog. Amen. We have to put off concerning the former conversation. We need to put on the new man and begin to put away some things in our lives. And it is an intentional living. So what I want to see tonight is this. Number one, there's a positional truth. That does not change. It's present tense. It cannot change. Okay? That's in the mind of God. That is what God... listen to me. If Amos or Isaiah or Hosea or Daniel or Ezekiel or Jeremiah were to have read to us Ephesians 1 and 2, you know what they'd have said before all that? Thus saith the Lord. That's what they would have said. You can't change any of that. So what does that mean? Right now I'm saved. Can I do anything about my position? Can I do anything about it? Well, my position's in heaven. I can't do anything about it. It's where I'm at. But what I can do is something about my practice. If you're here tonight, you've never been saved, you need to do something about that whole pardon business. So you can have a good position and you can concentrate on a good practice. So why do we have so much trouble? It's because we were in darkness, we've been brought to light, but there's still part of us that wants to go back to the darkness. If there's not a struggle, there's no salvation. Amen. Amen. If there's not a struggle, there's no salvation. You don't have to have anybody tell you when you get married, there's somebody else living in the house. Amen. Amen. Your wife just didn't wake up and go, oh my goodness, where did all this dirty socks and underwear come from? Oh my goodness, I'm married. Where did you? No, uh-uh. No. That happens. That's part of the baggage that comes with it, Miss Ashley, is the dirty clothes. That's just part of it. That's what's there. When a baby comes in the house, you hear this crying 2:30 in the morning. Who in the world could that be? Honey, somebody done snuck a baby into that bedroom in yon. No. That baby lets you know that somebody else is living there. There is a new creature in there who cries out, Abba, Mama, give me some milk right now. But there's a new creature who cries out, Abba, Father, who longs for the things of God. And yet, even though longs for the things of God, ever so often, the father's got to do a little bit of that. Amen. Sometimes it's one of those. My mother could look down her glasses like this. We called it the Nana look. I'm telling you. Here I was 48 years old, and I'm like, Mom, please don't. Please, Mom. I'm sorry. Mom. I just melt. Don't look at me like that, Mom. My niece can do it. It's perfect. Amen. Sometimes God just does that number. Sometimes God does that. Sometimes God pulls a belt off, and it's like, boy, head to the woodshed. Amen. God read Dr. Spock and said he ain't right, and he took us out to the woodshed and just gave us a good whooping. Amen. Amen. But there's a new creature. There's a new creature. So, positionally, you're holy without blame before God in love. Practically, we've got to maintain, put together this body. See, God could have saved all of us at one time, give us a purpose. Why did God do it that way? Watch me. You ready? I don't know. I just know what he did, and that's what he told us to do. All right? Well, praise the Lord. All right. I'm finished tonight. Amen. We had a Bible lesson. We had a grammar lesson. And y'all watched a tennis match. I'm back and forth. Amen. So you got your exercise tonight. That's probably more exercise I've had tonight than I've had in the last week. You sit at a desk all day long, you don't get no exercise. So I'm trying to move around a little bit, get some exercise. We had a big dump truck come in here and just turn around the parking lot. So I came out of the office, ran up there. And did you not see the sign that said no turn? Oh, no, I didn't see the sign. It's like, okay. Well, and I'm up there going, do you not see the sign? I'm thinking, oh boy, you better get out and start walking, son. You're out of shape. Help us, Lord. All right. Amen. All right. All right, amen. Well, appreciate y'all listening tonight. Everybody's tuned in on Facebook here tonight, whether you're listening live, whether you listen a little later, I appreciate you listening. All hearts and minds, let's go and stand your feet. All hearts and minds clear.